Recording. Recording is on. Okay. We are good. Levels are good.
Mine is all. Well, mine's not. Mine is. It only picks up whenever a call starts. Do you want to tempt fate and start and restart the call, or just go with your record?
I'll go with mine because I don't have the time to splice together an editing anyway. So
okay,
we'll just roll with it and see how we go. So stand by. A few seconds of silence.
Yep.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. This is episode 49, which means we're all San Francisco fans now. Isn't that what they say in football? Anyway, I think that's what they do. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton. Hope you guys have had a great couple of weeks. I know I have. It's been a really busy couple of weeks for the Blantons here. But Bethany's not with us at the time, but I can tell you someone who is with us tonight for now, and he is the EU guru, co-host of Star Wars Beyond the Films. And it just occurred to me in my brain that if I start going through all of his Star Wars credentials, we would be here for another extra 10 minutes. So I will not do that, but I will go ahead and introduce Nathan P. Butler to the podcast.
Hey, everybody. You know, Riley, I it happens every time you start up the music and I'm sitting here dancing in my seat. Very glad that my fiance is not home right now to watch me do it.
Nerd.
I love that music.
Oh, yeah. No, I love it every time. Never gets old. But we got a couple things to talk about. It's been a couple weeks. I've been gone, as I talked about in some previous episodes. I've been doing some summer academies through the cadet program of Civil Air Patrol. It's my last year as a cadet before I turn to the ripe old age of 21. And so I've been doing all kinds of really cool training that has nothing to do with Star Wars, but everything. Well, there are a couple Star Wars stories that I can tell from them. I'll have to save them for a later date. But I was at an engineering academy. I was at advanced pararescue doing special forces type training. So feel like Yoda on Dagobah. Just if Yoda were a pararescueman sergeant screaming at you. but that's been my summer for the past couple of weeks. But there's been a lot happening in the Star Wars fan community, especially with Celebration. So having said that, I want to just run through a couple things. It sounds like Celebration is really ramping up. Beth and I will be there, but they recently announced, the last time I looked, Seth Green and Matt Sinreich, but then they had like a bajillion other ones, and I just realized I'm awkwardly holding the microphone while trying to pull up the link, and it's not working for me. There we go. But Nathan, I know you're not able to go to Celebration this year.
This is true. But be glad if they've got a bazillion hosts that were just entered the Star Wars lexicon with Dawn of the Jedi, so you're totally in sync.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about they're saying one of the pieces of news before I go over some of the guests is that they are having a special end event on Sunday that they were peddling as this amazing event. And if you go to the What's Happening tab on the website, you can go to the closing ceremonies, this is the first time I think they've done closing ceremonies at something like this. And I'm pulling up the webpage. It says, mark your calendars now, the closing ceremonies at Celebration 6. They're planning something really special that you won't want to miss. So I've heard some speculation that they may be trying out these things annually, and I thought that was reasonably solid speculation. Although, I'm not sure I would like that idea, quite frankly. I don't know. Would you be able to make it if they did, Nathan?
You know, honestly, I mean, for me, always the fact that anytime they try to do these things, it's when school's either just starting or just getting out. It's one of those times where it's impossible to go, as far as that goes for me. So, you know, whatever they do, I'm just saying, just please plop it in the middle of summer sometime.
Yeah,
you know, that's all. That's all. Like, or Christmas break. Celebrate Christmas with Star Wars. You've already got a Christmas album. Why not?
You do. Yeah. And immediately some of the songs popped in my head. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to run through these really quick. You guys can just go over to StarWarsCelebration.com and click on the guest tabs, but I'm just going to kind of pick and choose some that I'm excited about. A lot of familiar faces, but the two big ones are Ian McDiarmid. He will be there. The Emperor is coming. That's somebody I would really love to hear talk on stage, because he's really outside of the Star Wars nerd lexicon, and it's going to be really interesting to see someone with his acting chops, his experience up on stage, and give his perspective on the prequels. And let's see, another big name is Kevin Smith. I don't know if you're much of a Kevin Smith fan, Nathan, but evidently a bunch of people are.
Oh yeah, I've got a signed Dogma poster around here somewhere.
Oh really? So I do not know much about him other than he's a very popular podcaster and was a filmmaker.
He's the clerk, Small Rats, Chasing Amy. If you want crass humor, but humor that's relevant for the times we're living in for the generation of, I guess, about 30-somethings right now, he was the go-to guy for a while.
Yeah, yeah, he kind of represents that generation, and they're doing a special evening with Kevin Smith. But like I say, Bethany and I may or may not be there. Other than that, a lot of same olds that were there from years past. One thing, Anthony Daniels will be there. I really want to catch his panel. I missed it last year. And that's one thing where I really want to, this year, focus on some of the panels that aren't so news-oriented, because it's always exciting to go see the newest Clone Wars trailer and see the latest information on Star Wars 1313. But really, 6 months later, that information is going to be outdated and you're going to forget it anyway. So I want to really get the behind-the-scenes stories, especially some of these original trilogy guys, because they're not going to be around with us forever. So that's kind of an approach I wanted to take a little bit differently. Jake Lloyd will be there, Tamara Morrison, Bonnie Peace, Tim Rose, Admiral Akbar, Robert Watts, and the four hosts, of course. James Arnold Taylor is the host. That's been announced previously. David Collins, Pablo Hidalgo. Fun fact, Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist fellow. When I heard that news, I was when I was first decided to try out listening to a show, and the show's actually pretty good. He's definitely kind of a stand-up in style, but he has a really good grasp on the geek culture in its more mainstream modern way. Kind of represents the way things have changed a lot in the past couple of years in terms of pop cultural's attitude towards things like Star Wars, Star Trek, G.I. Joe, and every other popular movie franchise that's been rebooted and brought back in the past 10 years. It's interesting. They all seem to be nerdy in some way, which by virtue of that are no longer nerdy. It's kind of funny how that works. Let's see. All right, so let's get into it, Nathan. Clone Wars. Clone Wars Season 5 trailer came out while I was doing my 100th set of push-ups on Davis Mothlam Air Force Base, wishing I was watching a Clone Wars Season 5 trailer. And I just want to click play, and we're going to take a little listen to it and talk about it afterwards of some of the stuff we see in Clone Wars Season 5.
Sweet.
In a world.
We
are brothers. I just realized I may be tempting fate with the internet. Let's go ahead and just jump into the commentary, Nathan, because I don't think I'm going to have much luck. We are, pull the curtain back for the listeners right now. Pretty bad thunderstorms heading through the area. And considering the fact that Nathan is probably currently 15 miles from where I am, it's affecting both of us. And considering the fact that we just lost internet, makes it kind of even worse. So I am going to talk about the Clone Wars Season 5 trailer. All right. All right, I'm going to pause recording and I will be right back. And we're back. All right, so there's a little bit of brief confusion there. Listeners, what I just did is pause my little recording here because we're dealing with the internet issues, so you'll just have to bear with us as we go. I'll pause the recording as we lose internet, but as we get to discuss the Clone Wars trailer and trailer images for Season 5. So, as it happens, we just lost internet again, but I will pause for just a moment and be right back, hopefully with Nathan. And we're back. So, Nathan, Clone Wars Season 5 trailer, your initial thoughts when you first saw it, while we have internet. And you're cute. Oh, my goodness. This is terrible. All right. Well, I will go ahead and give my initial thoughts. There are a number of really interesting things that I was pleased with seeing in the Clone Wars Season 5 trailer, not the least of which was land battles with the, not terrorist group, but with the local resistance. I thought that was a really interesting take on it. So We'll get Nathan's take in just a moment when we return from these brief messages. And we're back. So, Nathan, your thoughts on the Clone Wars Season 5 trailer now?
I would say it's pretty striking. There's a lot of stuff you can see just from that, what, 2 minutes of things that are going to be coming back, things that we've been expecting. We've got Maul and Savant going after not just Obi-Wan, but Duke as sort of a pretender, Sith apprentice. That was something we speculated about in Republic Forces, but never thought was maybe going to hit this early, but they're doing it. You've got Death Watch back for Pre Vizsla, more Bo-Katan. You've got Sugi back. We don't see her briefly, but Sugi is back. Imbo's back with his stroke. Right? We've got Honda Onaka back. And a couple of new things. While they're bringing Lux Bonner back, we've got Onderon, which is awesome, from Tales of the Jedi and Knights of the Old Republic and Old Republic games. And we got, it's been confirmed by Dave Filoni, those Falene that we see, that's the beginnings, or the debut in the series, not the beginnings per se. The beginnings on film of Black Sun, the criminal syndicate that eventually is run by Chizor, of course, Shadow Empire. So there's a lot of really cool stuff in a quick little couple minutes.
Yeah, it's not too long of a trailer, but this is probably not one of the better trailers in terms of how excited it had me, but in terms of just the footage, when you look through the freeze frames, it's one that I am the most excited. I'm very excited about the return of Imbo, but having something... I guess we've had Republic Commandos as kind of a toss-in, but I really hope that they use Black Sun and the Feline a lot more than they would use the Republic Commandos from last season, or was it the season before? It all blends together.
Yeah, definitely don't want to have a bunch of little cameo appearances, and it seems like that's what they did with the Republic Commandos. It's like they weren't even... Why would you go through all the trouble to make those character models? They talk about how difficult it is and how time-consuming it is just to use it one time in a brief scene. They gotta come back. You know, hopefully the Falene won't wind up like that.
I have a sneaking suspicion that's actually a realistic possibility. But so we have the local planet is, I believe it's Onderon, where they have the resistance that's not necessarily aligned with the Republic, but they're fighting the Separatist.
Along with, you've got of these unnamed, I'm assuming unnamed characters so far, one of them riding this mounted flying beast, and that's something that ties into the comics too. There was the first Tales of the Jedi storyline was Ulic Kheldroma and the Beast Wars of Onderon. They would fly these as weapons of war, but also at one point they could use those to actually travel back and forth between the planet and their moon, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. So I get that jumped out at me. I think Clone Wars, just kind of looking back overarching, they've been in production of Clone Wars for a long time, and they are constantly improving, as is often said. But I really hope that they've got... Nothing in the trailer jumped out at me as truly remarkable or surprising, which I could either not be a very good sign or be a very good sign.
You know, what was missing from the trailer? Asajj Ventress. I didn't see her anywhere in there, did you?
No, I did not. And I think... Asajj, as interesting as Savage Opress and Darth Maul were, Asajj Ventress's character arc has really developed well in the previous season, so I really hope that they actually don't just leave that hanging like they have in other episodes. Like the plot thread with Rex in season 2, where I can't remember the episode names, but you know, Captain Rex was seriously questioning the way he was a soldier throughout that episode, and he kind of had...
The deserter?
Yeah, the deserter. Yeah. And there was some finality to it, but I really felt like there's more to tell in areas like that.
Yeah, it does seem they've set up a lot of stuff. They've said, Filoni has said, that some of the characters that we have created for the show will meet their destinies in season 5.
Whatever that means. Exactly.
We've got an episode named The Rise of Clovis. There's 7 episode titles. You know, A War on Two Fronts, Front Runners, The Soft War, Tipping Points, and then 3, I'm assuming, are An Old Friend, The Rise of Clovis, and Crisis at the Heart. And Clovis almost has to be Rush Clovis from Sinspy. So it looks like they're bringing back even more characters that we haven't seen. I think a lot of time if there's a big character coming in or a return, they'll throw it in the trailers. See, they're coming. I wonder if Clovis, you know, was just someone they didn't like. Is he getting a new character model that's not ready to be revealed yet? There's barely any other, you know, prior season characters coming back other than the ones that I mentioned there. You know, it seems they're narrowing their cast of characters to focus on you. It's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that's And I do hope they kind of narrow their focus in the season. And by the way, Hondo and Aka at the end of the trailer was hilarious. Hondo and Aka, I don't know why, he's probably rapidly become one of the most endearing characters on the Clone Wars in his style. He has that. I could stand to see a lot more Hondo.
Yeah, Hondo's a good one. His classic moment to me is still when he turns to Aura Singh with Bo, not mine, right? And it's like, oh, yeah. You know? That perfectly fits the character and his attitude for just about everything, you know?
Yeah, I did not see that coming at all in Clone Wars. But yeah, so we only have, I guess, the first 7 episodes, as you said. The last one, you were breaking up a little bit, but you said Crisis at the Heart.
Yeah, I would almost bet Padme and Clovis tension again, you know, because it's right after the Rise of Clovis episode.
An episode titled like The Rise of Clovis sounds remarkably ominous for a random senator that used to be in love with Padme.
Yeah, but, you know, now, a lot of the characters, you know, they're really cool, they'll bring out, and then they'll just kill off anyway. Yeah. So maybe it's the rise of Clovis for the next week and a half, and now he's dead or something.
Yeah,
you know?
So when the Clone Wars soundtrack, season 5 soundtrack comes out, we wish, it might say Clovis's funeral.
Clovis's noble end.
Clovis's noble, exactly. Yeah. I could see that. Okay, so side question, Nathan. Do you think, are we closing in a season 5, season 6, our last season?
You know, I would bet that we're probably, if not season 5, then I speculation, but if you look at the way that they ran it, they tend to produce about 26 episodes per season.
Yeah.
And if you don't count the film, and you take those 26 episodes, because they always have episodes for their season that they're on right now, but they tend to sort of get ahead of themselves and get some ones done for the next season so they can then be working on the back half of that season and the next one. If you look at the ones they've actually produced, which would be the 88 that have aired, not counting the film, the 88 that have aired plus the 12 that have had as the other 12 from what we think of as season 5, but to them it was the end of season 4 production, they're right at 100 episodes. And that's what Lucas always said was his target, was 100 episodes.
100 episodes.
So if that target still means anything, we're probably getting close to the end, but I can't imagine that they would be bringing back Maul and doing some of this bigger stuff if they were meaning for it to end on episode 100. So we're definitely getting a full season.
Yeah.
Which means they're already past 100 shooting for, past 104 if you count the ones that made up the movie. So plans seem to have changed, but to what degree,
but
I don't know.
That never happens. That never happens.
These resources say, okay, we're done with the Clone Wars. There's only so much we can fit into the 3 years. But now that we've got all these character models and ship models and stuff, you know that live action series we just can't make happen on a budget. Screw live. We're doing this as an animated, more mature Star Wars series, keep it going with something like that. That'd
I would
be, great.
Be so sold if they did that. That would be incredible. Somebody, maybe with the change of leadership at Lucasfilm, who knows?
They got their big project game wise is Star Wars 1313. That's an underworld. That's a darker type of story. Based on what we're hearing, and that's kind of the same thing that he said was going to be happening with the live-action series. It could be a perfect plan.
And it almost seems we'll get to 1313 in just a minute, but it's so close to what we thought the live-action series would be. One has to really wonder, because the last couple major video game franchises were set in that exact time period, in that exact same style. So 1313 is almost just like a Force Unleashed 3 in some ways, without those characters. It's that same style and feel. But we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that. I want to bring up one more thing about Clone Wars before we jump into that, and that is an interesting post on Lightsaber Rattling about Season 5. This is from, I think, a Facebook Q&A that Dave Filoni did. I'm just going to read this to you, Nathan. Hopefully our internet connection is still solid enough to where you can hear me. But here's a question from Pavel Climes, and he says, "Hi, Dave. I'd like to ask you if we were to see a revolution on Mandalore. The Essential Atlas mentioned AWOL ARC Trooper Alpha 2, a.k.a. Spar, being the one who returns the Mandalorians to their warrior ways. Are we going to see this event, and, more importantly, Satine's faction fate?" So it's a little awkwardly worded, but the faction of peaceful Mandalorians, what happens to them? Yes or no will do. Thanks for answering. And of course, this is the kind of question I'm surprised Dave answered at all. But here's his answers. He says, "What you saw in season 4 with the Death Watch was just a small taste of what was to come. I think the Mandalorians are involved in one of the best story arcs next season. A great deal is at stake, and big things happen. As far as Spar, the clones, and the Mandalorians go, you have to understand that the film saga and TV series don't really identify with the Mandalorians, and the vast majority of clones never met Jango Fett. And so I'm going to just jump through. Important thing being is that Satine will be returning, and I promise you that she'll be having bigger problems than tainted Mugen tea this time." So, sounds like we do get a Mandalorian arc. And so I could not be more pleased with that. It certainly beats the Mugen tea, as he joked. I wonder if there are like inside jokes at Lucasfilm about some of those not so great episodes. You know?
One would hope they can laugh at themselves as opposed to taking it way too seriously sometimes. But
yeah, we'll see. It sounds like kind of like they do according to that little answer there, poking fun at themselves.
Yeah, I'm not sure where. I mean, I good guy. I've seen him on Facebook around and that thing. My concern would be that we need to make don't read too much into the way that Filoni answered the question, because it almost sounds like he was kind of hinting that the whole Alpha 2 Spar thing could happen. But in his interview in the newest Insider, it's 134, he basically goes on a unsolicited quasi mini rant on how there's the TV series, and then there's the EU, and well, we'll nod to it, we'll add to it, we'll touch on it from time to time, but they're really kind of two separate universes and such, which is kind of somewhat echoing what Lucas said at one point.
Yeah.
On a file of the Lucasfilm company line, and I got to wonder if they would use something that specific from elsewhere, unless, because Spar wasn't a TV series character, unless, you know, maybe Fry and them were given details about what's coming up series that nobody else knew about.
Yeah. I'm just pleased to actually see Mandalorians, and it sounds, and they're kind of still. I've been waiting for this to happen pretty much the whole series since we heard about them. But when in the trailer you see what's the director's name?
Pre Vizsla.
Yeah, Pre Vizsla's character, the director of Iron Man who voices him, who unfortunately
said, Jon Favreau.
Thank you, Jon Favreau. He's kind of doing his spiel of we're reclaiming Mandalore to our old warrior ways, which I liked because the idea of peaceful Mandalorians rubbed so many people the wrong way. And so I didn't mind the idea as long as they had that kind of marked return, because you can work around it in the retcons and the timeline. So I like. It seems like that's finally happening, if I had to hazard a guess.
I wonder what's going to happen to Satine if that happens. Will they pull a she's dying, this is going to cause Obi-Wan to be even more concerned about attachments and be more concerned with making sure Anakin doesn't have them with Padme or something, you know? Is there a possibility that what we're going to wind up seeing, it gives us a chance to see kind of what Alderaan could have been? We don't see Alderaan in the Clone Wars at this point. I mean, we see Bail Organa, but we don't really see Alderaan in any significant way. And there's always that question, you know, how does a pacifist culture survive when dealing with warfare? And maybe this is our chance to explore that idea without them having to bring Alderaan into it and opening up that can of worms.
Yeah, and that's some fascinating ground for exploration in the Clone Wars, because there are plenty of times when you can just revert to the same old Star Wars formula, but I like it when Clone Wars you actually have enough time to explore maybe a little bit more complex plot lines than just Separatist Republic fighting Republic wins. You know, so I like that. I like that idea. What else do we see? I guess lastly is the Savage Opress Darth Maul. You see Darth Maul fighting Obi-Wan, so there is, you know, definitely going to be a confrontation. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. And of course, I'm looking at the freeze frame of the Black Sun bosses with the Shizor style of dress, and that's pretty cool.
And this may be, I mean, we don't know. Are they assuming that these guys are in charge of Black Sun at the time? Is it them gaining power within Black Sun? Because, you know, the EU has its own take on it, but it's a little bit later than this most of the time when they talk about it. It'd be kind of cool. the rise of the Falun within the organization, and that makes the organization itself rise, because then you could bust out all the jokes about help their Falun and they can't get up, and now
That's terrible. All right, so I'm going to close this out with the actual audio of the trailer, and we'll talk some Star Wars 1313.
We are the Death Watch. Strong. Feared. Descendants of the true warrior faith all Mandalorians once knew.
This insurgency. They're not designed.
All right, so that's where you get the glimpse of the Death Watch. I'm going to kind of pause it as we go so that it has time to buffer, but that's where you get that kind of glimpse of the Maul plot where they're really teasing it, and then the Death Watch.
And we see their ships.
Yeah.
The Starfighters in action.
Oh, yeah.
Deal with the droids.
We can't sustain combat against their numbers.
The only way to reclaim Onderon will be through armed struggle. We need your help to survive this.
The Rebels just need guidance. To help realign with the Republic.
That sounds like a Darth Vader line. They just need some guidance to realign with the Empire, you know.
They need guidance to do exactly what we want them to do.
Exactly. And you see in a glimpse there also in the trailer that Lux Monteri is right there on a hologram talking to the Jedi Council, so he seems a little bit more open to the Republic now.
And a new character model for him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep. Find a way. We shall. Our combined strength will be rewarded, and Kenobi, this Sith pretender Dooku, and all our enemies will fall.
Oh, yeah. You get to see the Mandalorians in action, and you get to see Dengar in action, which is pretty cool. Hello, love. And plenty of jetpacks.
And you know, we've got, it just strikes me, the whole thing with the Falun that we wind up seeing in there and how all of our enemies will fall, et cetera, et cetera. They, in one of the books that is a tie-in to the Darth Maul stuff, I forget which one, it's basically a book that's more or less just an adaptation of Clone Wars episodes. They mentioned the idea of organized crime, like the criminal underworld being a part of Maul's return to power. So you got to wonder if those two aren't quite as lines as it might be after all.
Like the Falun possibly being used. And it's interesting, you hear Maul use I was always kind of wondering how Maul would react to Dooku. And when you hear this Sith pretender, you really can tell that he thinks that Dooku has no place with the Sith. He's a former Jedi. And Darth Maul really feels that he's the true Sith Lord. Not the first time this kind of conflict has happened between Sith Lords, and certainly won't be the last.
Ah, here we go. It's the book is called Darth Maul, The Shadow Conspiracy, or just Shadow Conspiracy. It's by Jason Fry, and it is an adaptation of a critical four-episode story arc appearing in Clone Wars Season 5. So apparently we've got ourselves a four-episode Maul.
And I'm looking at the Mandalorians that they show, and they've got a lot more character models for different styles and looks and head shapes, so they don't all have the weird, like, solid skin, bone, beard.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
It's time we rise and reclaim our birthright as warriors.
Prepare yourself. Oh, yeah. The real fight is about to begin.
What are you doing here?
I have brought you a gift.
Rocket launchers.
Very expensive.
Paid for.
Very handsome. Oh my, look at the time. Well, my work is done.
Well, I kind of slightly take it back because you can see Maul actually attack the Falun at that point. Although maybe that's part of his plot right at the end there. But other than that, a lot of quick images that flew by really quickly, but jumped out to me. Of course, you have Imbo becoming the ski master.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually watching it again that second time. That actually makes me considerably more excited about it. And I'm sure Mr. Filoni's got some special stuff planned for Celebration this year, and we will be covering it on the Star Wars Report. So we got a couple more minutes, Nathan. Let's jump over to Star Wars 1313, and then we'll close this out. And I'm just going to – I know you just recorded an episode for Beyond the Films on this. I was gone. I know nothing other than there's a guy, and he's, like, stuck in the thing, and he does cool stuff, and it's on the 13th level of Coruscant, and it's the live-action series if it were an actual series, but it's a video game. That's what I know. Did I miss anything?
Well, sort of. Whether it actually ties into what the live-action series would be is kind of anybody's guess at this point. But yeah, what you've got is a third-person shooter. So it's along the lines of something – it seems very close to along the lines of Uncharted. And does what the Uncharted series has done in terms of sort of pushing the technology a little bit, what can be done with the processors on these particular systems. It's you've got two guys who are not supposedly the actual final character models, so we don't really know what they finally look like, but they're being created by the ILM guys in conjunction with LucasArts, so it's a full-blown collaboration this time, not just like farming out a few designs.
Yeah.
It's them going down to the 13th level of Coruscant. We see a couple of clips. We see them in a ship descending down. The ship apparently is losing atmosphere at one point. You see sort of the third-person shooting mechanics, the covering behind, taking cover behind objects, reaching over objects to grab somebody and snap their neck. And they're on the other side of it, shooting mechanics, very much what you'd expect from any kind of third-person shooter in a lot of ways. But the big thing that's really getting a lot of people's attention on this is the graphics.
The
cutscenes look realistic. I mean, they look like actual people in many ways, and it's all in-engine, which means processing cutscenes is what's processing the game. It's not like some pre-made cutscene that just gets spliced in as a video clip that plays. I mean, this is all within what this thing can do. Really pushing
when bounce. I watched the gameplay video, Nathan, that's what surprised me is how smoothly it went in and out of cutscenes, and you didn't even really know when it was when. So you were confused.
It's pretty impressive. It's so impressive that it's got a lot of people concerned that this is probably not for this generation of systems.
Yeah.
It's probably not for Xbox 360. It's probably not for PS3. Uncharted 3 pretty much pushed the boundaries, that and God of War 3, of what this generation can do in terms of graphic fidelity and graphic processing. Mm-hmm. The demo was running on a high-end PC with an NVIDIA video card and a highly modified Unreal 3 engine. Which is basically to say that it's probably beyond what the systems now can do, and with Unreal 4, a new game engine being around the corner to run the game, people can build their games up. It's got a lot of folks basically just sitting back saying, you know, this is awesome. We're going to see a lot about it in the near future, but until they actually announce another new Xbox or PlayStation, who knows when we're actually going to see the game.
Yeah. And fun fact, reading through the Digital Spy article, that they did a nice roundup that I was kind of using. Seeing the video, it was remarkable graphics, and that's what really plugged me in, because I wasn't interested because there weren't any recognizable characters, and I really care about characters. And although, you know, they started ground up with Force Unleashed, and I ended up liking it a lot, so I'm hoping it's the same deal here. But like with using ILM for a lot of the models, etc., they've actually got some people who've worked originally on Return of the Jedi working on this video game.
Well, the guys that are doing the facial capture are the same guys who did the facial capture for the Hulk in the Avengers movie.
Oh.
So, I mean, the facial capture is going to be incredible. I mean, that you can sort of see that in the demo that they already showed.
Yeah. I'm actually going to pop up this video, see if it plays a little bit.
Descent to level 13.
Catch a deep breath. It'll be the last fresh air you'll get for a while.
Fresh air is overrated.
Let's see how you feel about that after you get 1,000 levels down.
So there you can see them traveling into the depths of Coruscant. Say this, I am definitely intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued as to what they do. If you're just going to guess, are you thinking we're a year out for this, more or less?
You know, honestly, I'd say it depends, because nobody knows when Microsoft or Sony announce their new consoles. If it doesn't get scaled back, and let's say it can't run current consoles, that it's not just pushing the edge of the current consoles, that it absolutely can't, it totally depends on when they're going to put out those new systems. And we may not get the release date until they announce the system release dates, because otherwise they're showing the hand of whoever is whose new engines they're using, new programming for at this point. It's very much an up-in-the-air thing. I'm excited for it. One of my favorite genres. I mean, there's two favorite genres for me in gaming. It's the one-on-one fighting games, like the Street Fighters, the Marvel vs. Capcom type stuff, and third-person shooters. And this looks to be a really solid third-person shooter. It's got the mechanics right, and Star Wars. It makes me wonder, though, because you remember how The Force Unleashed had the big hype, and it came out, and some were underwhelmed, some were. But I really enjoyed the game, but there was that whole issue of, you know, people griped about the mechanics of certain things, like aiming when you're doing force grabs and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's not a lot of games that are in the same vein as The Force Unleashed. There are running around attack type games, but not using the force and that sort of thing. So, you know, they've got to figure out how they're going to do the stuff when they're doing The Force Unleashed. This is a third-person shooter. Third-person shooters are done to death, and there's no force powers that we can tell in this story so far, which means that not only are they going to be compared, is this a good Star Wars game, but you know they're going to be compared to the greats in the third-person shooter genre. You know, aside from graphically, can this add anything to the genre? I don't know if that makes their task easier or tougher, because it's familiar mechanics. It's harder to get wrong, but at the same time, it sure stiffens the competition at the same time, you know?
Yeah. So I guess to summarize my overall thoughts, it looks like it would be more interesting than Force Unleashed in terms of its gameplay and style and graphics, but it would kind of depend on what systems they put this thing on. It would be really cool if this were introduced into the Wii U. That would be nice, because that actually does have a definitive release date, I believe. Although,
very true, but the question about that has been whether or not it's really a generational jump with the Wii U. We can tell it's kind of like, what it's sounding like is it's kind of like what happened with the Wii, where the Wii was kind of like it was ahead of the other two companies, but at the same time, it was almost like a half generation step.
Yeah.
As opposed to a full generation step. And I don't know, I'm always puzzled by some of the things that Nintendo does. I find that with their games, I'm usually like, yeah, that makes sense. But with their soft or their hardware, a lot of times, like, why are you doing this now? Why are you doing it this way? Of course, I was an early adopter of the 3DS and paid the full price tag. Like, do I know about Nintendo?
Yeah, they kind of pulled an Apple there. And gaming's changed so much to where I really like the idea of an interactive online game for tablets or something like that, because I'm not sure any Star Wars game, even the really best ones, would convince me to buy, because I'm not the biggest gamer, a new system. But if they really, whenever the PlayStation 4, Xbox 8, or 720p, or whatever they want to call it, if these come out as really well-rounded, dynamic entertainment systems where video game is part of the focus, but very interactive, intuitive, in-home family entertainment style, where you can, all your movies, music, basically any entertainment is conveniently stored and played back on this one device, then I would be much more willing to sink the cash in for something like that. I love the idea of having Netflix, Hulu, Blu-ray, DVD, video games, music, Pandora, apps, all in one system.
So everything but Pandora, you just described a PlayStation 3.
Exactly. And the PlayStation 3 is probably the most, I guess, overall entertainment system that covers everything. And
It depends. Depends on if you want the Blu-rays or just DVDs. Yeah. But Xbox has a lot more of the apps to run third-party stuff. And, you know, at the like they got the MLB stuff. They've got the sure. HBO stuff. But they don't play Blu-ray. And the PS3 doesn't have a couple of the apps, but plays Blu-ray.
Sure,
and 3D
and
Blu-ray.
We have a Sony Blu-ray player, which is basically which plays like and uses the same kind of user interface as the PS3, and it works well. It has your most of your mainstream apps, and that's our entertainment for the most part. And then our only video game system is the Wii or computer, PC gaming. So if this were PC gaming, that would be cool. Although I imagine it would take some pretty hefty graphics, even for my laptop. Which is only like 4 months old, and it's already out of date. But you know how that works.
Yeah. I bet my computer wouldn't run the Old Republic if I wanted it to. It'll run Clone Wars Adventures, but I don't care. So
yeah,
it's a trade-off.
All right. Well, Oh my goodness. I think that is our cue. We're pretty much going to wrap it up for our final thoughts. Some interesting stuff's happened the past couple weeks, Nathan. It hasn't been super busy, but certainly, it's kind of glad. I'm glad to be back on the civilian side. Still got some more summer academies and that sort of thing. So this summer's been breezing by for me as we count down to Celebration. Just for the listeners, Bethany and I will be at Star Wars Celebration, and we'll be giving more details of our schedule for you guys that are also going to be there. Most importantly, probably, is one event that we're trying to promote heavily for our good buddy Steve from Geek Out Loud and geekoutpodcast.com. He's a youth pastor, and right now he's working on doing a little celebration of worship. Worship service Sunday morning at the Rosen Center, which is right down the block from the convention center. You can get all kinds of details at geekoutpodcast.com. There's a tab there where they can give you all the information. Help Steve out financially because he's fronting all the money himself. But it's pretty cool. James Arnold Taylor will be speaking there. Steve will be speaking. Beth and I will be there, amongst some other really cool stuff. So hopefully, Nathan, they'll do Celebration middle of the summer one of these years. That would be nice.
Just come to Atlanta and just knock Dragon Con out of there and just do it here.
Kick all those drunk costumers out of there.
Exactly. Who needs a pirate party when you've got stormtroopers?
Exactly. Right? Well, Dragon Con's fun. Beth and I were there last year, and as long as you know when to be there and you aren't out on the streets at midnight, it's pretty family friendly. They've worked hard, and the volunteer staff there work insanely hard. But at a point, I think you really do need to just actually hire security. And well, it's a whole nother story.
You could give out little bags when people pick up their badges and have a little taser or something in it too.
Yeah, self-protection.
Complimentary taser with every purchase.
Exactly, to protect you from the overly aggressive Klingons running around.
You got a pretty mouth, kapla.
Oh, scary times. But Beth and I will also be at Dragon Con this year. Wouldn't miss it because there's some really great non-Star Wars stuff that, if you're interested, this is the year of The Hobbit, and I could not be more thrilled. That's probably like the ultimate movie-going experience this year for me. That and The Dark Knight Rises. Those two are going to be cool. But this is not The Hobbit podcast, nor is it the Dark Knight podcast, but it is the Star Wars Report, and you can find all the information that you would ever want to know about us. Well, not quite all of it, but you get the idea. Over at StarWarsReport.com, follow us on Twitter at StarWarsReport, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. You can find me at Twitter at TheRileyGuy, Bethany at AelinWynn, and Nathan Butler, where can people find you?
We can find Star Wars Beyond the Films on StarWarsReport.com. You can find me on Twitter, SWFanWorks. You can find Star Wars Beyond the Films on Twitter or on Facebook as SW Beyond Films, just whatever the website is, /SWBeyondFilms. So Facebook.com, Twitter.com. And my website, StarWarsFanWorks.com and NathanPButler.com. I got a lot of, what do they call it, irons in the fire? Is that what they call it?
Cooks in
the kitchen, something.
Staying busy. Yeah. I like it. I like it. And we'll be getting, hopefully, back to regular podcasts. We won't be here next week, but we will be here the week after trying to figure all those details out. Thanks, guys, for tuning in to the 49th episode of the Star Wars Report. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. See you later, folks.